Executive Director with Youth for Christ in the Greater Victoria area. I've had a chance to meet with him just briefly this morning, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to share. So, Lindsay, why don't you come on up and share what the Lord has placed on your heart this morning. Welcome.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate that. Thanks. Is it okay if I go down here? Is that a good rule? I never know what the rules are. You come to a new place and they all have, can I put my book here? I used to travel quite a bit, and I got a chance to be in several different, in fact, all the way across the country out to Newfoundland and back, and we spoke in all kinds of churches. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes, but one day there was a church that we were working with, and my friend Scott had grabbed, at that time, the overhead projector, right, with all the acetates, as they call them in the UK, and he had put it on top of one of those things, and then pulled it off and just put a massive scratch through their fancy altar thing, and it was an awful thing all the way around. Anyway, so I'd like to ask, is it okay that I can put this on the doily? We're good then. Yeah, my name is Lindsay Hodges. I get to be the Executive Director of Youth for Christ as we appear. I know you guys have a lot of touch with Youth for Christ and a lot of history with us because Youth for Christ Victoria has been out here a lot. We've been out here for years, sometimes with a big double-decker bus out parked downtown or whatever, and doing some different kinds of outreach. And we're still doing several different kinds of outreach. Just so you know who I am right off the bat. Oh, there's Rick's blue bus. That looks awesome. My name's Lindsay. I have two children. I have one wife, so I'm trying to keep it this way at this point in time. My wife's name is Shelley, and my son is 15. His name is Jalen, and he attends Belmont over in Langford there. And my daughter is Jasmine, and she's just started this year at Spencer Junior High. We have excellent times. My family is fantastic. My wife is really obviously very gracious. You will probably notice this in time. She's been very gracious to me in that she's still hanging out with me, which I really appreciate. She's much better than I am on so many different levels. My son has always been known to push all the envelopes and then just see as far to the edge as he can be with everything. And so that has made me wonder whether he's just in training to be a terrorist, whereas my daughter is like looking for the Nobel Peace Prize because she pleases everyone. So we have all kinds of fun stuff in our family. We've got dogs and cats, and we're dog, cat, something else. What do we have? Guinea pigs, fish. We've got all kinds of stuff in our house. It's a zoo, even though we live in town, and it's not just because of the animals. We have a wonderful time, my family. It's a lot of fun, and I've been really fortunate for the last number of years to be able to be in ministry. And I used to travel, like I just said. I used to travel all over Canada with an organization called Life Force, doing youth ministry teams, being able to come into different areas and go into schools and do motivational things in schools, and then in the evenings put on events where we can invite all the kids back out to and tell them about Jesus and tell them about how God can change their life and the purpose and plan that he has for them. And that's where my heart still is. That's where it was kind of formed with everything that took place in my life, and your experiences kind of shape you, and I haven't been able to let go of that aspect of things. And I did that for just over 20 years, actually. I did it for 7 years full-time on the road, but then we also moved back in and took over the organization and ran this Life Force Teams for about a dozen years, and I ended up overseeing other different types of ministries and that kind of thing until a couple of years ago. I found out that there was a position open here with Youth for Christ in Victoria, and I thought, oh, I could sneak out and do that. Victoria is really nice. I was living in Calgary, so you can imagine how much better that was for us. And my wife was in glory land because we don't like winters that last till June. They're just not as fun. When you're sitting out there watching your kids play soccer and everybody's got sleeping bags and parkas on and you're watching the snow go by, it's just not really great. So I love Calgary in lots of different ways. I got a lot of my best friends in the world are out there. But we're so excited to come out here and join up with Youth for Christ in Greater Victoria because God is at work in this area. And there are some really neat things taking place. Really quickly, we had, when I was just in the process of being interviewed to come and join out here with the organization, I was driving back up to the airport to fly back to Calgary after my interview. And as I was driving back up, it was like a picture just flashed across my across my brain or whatever, of just like a field out here. Not like a field in the prairies, but like a field with rocks and long grass and all that kind of stuff. And I just saw the field just kind of starting to go like this and just kind of raise up. And the word that came into my mind to describe that was that there was a groundswell taking place. And God spoke really clearly to me that there is a move of God taking place. It's a groundswell of something that is happening here in the area. Maybe not an explosive thing that's volcanic and just destroys the whole world, but that God is at work and he is moving here in this area. And I thought, this is a good place for me to be. I'll come and ride that wave any day. And so that's all that's happened. Since we've been here, when I first showed up here a couple of years ago, we didn't even have this lovely bus. We had nothing. We had the back of Rick's car. And he was on three different First Nations communities going out, and they were throwing all of their gear in the trunk, and he was raising the finances for it and all that stuff, and you guys have been involved with much of the generosity towards purchasing that bus. And now, as a result, we're actually on these five different First Nations communities, Sikkim, Sayot, Esquimalt, Suke out here, Beecher Bay, and just recently we've actually had letters of inquiry from another First Nations community, so we might be in six before the end of the year. And then there's some people that have been talking to us that are interested in working with us and seeing how Youth for Christ can be involved in another area just up the highway from us a little ways. So we're pretty excited. We were looking at, all of a sudden, it could be by the end of this year. I don't know if this will take place, but we could be in seven different First Nations communities. Basically, going into places, talking to young people about character development, making positive choices and life decisions, but also always having a spot to tell them about how much Jesus loves them. Because at the end of the day, that really is the crux of all things for us, is that Jesus loves us and he has a plan for our lives. And then he made us on purpose. And then there's no mistakes involved in his life. And although there might be disasters around us, God's still at work. So we started doing this work. This is fantastic. Rick's growing it. We always end up looking for more sponsors and volunteers and all of that kind of stuff. It's a wonderful place to be in. We also have been able to establish a new ministry we call it Campus Life. Campus Life used to be here years ago. I'm sure some of you know this. But we've kind of resurrected that. And if we can just pop up a couple of slides there. Oh, there's some guys from the area. What ended up happening, I'll tell you real quick, was we had, I went to my kid's school because he was reading a book that had a lot of sketchy stuff in it. As part of their curriculum in his English class. And I thought, for a 13-year-old kid, this is probably not great material. It was a little bit stuff that, I said, I don't want to be that guy, but I went to the principal and I said, you know what? I don't want to be this guy, but I'm kind of going to be that guy right now. And I just need to let you know that the content is not so great. It's not good for a 13-year-old. My kid was the one that brought it up to me and said, hey, Dad, I don't think this stuff's appropriate. And I said, it's probably right. I read through the book. There was lots of swearing in it. There was a couple incidences of descriptions, not graphic descriptions, but certainly descriptions of homosexual activity between adults and minors and references to girls' breasts and all these kinds of things. And I said, I don't want my kid to be reading this stuff. And by the end of the conversation, I was just wanting to come in and just say, he'll read it if he has to, but if there's another way, that'd be great. And by the end of the conversation, that principal had said to me, if you guys have a staff member, could you put him in our school? If you guys have someone that could come in and do motivational things, can you actually do like the kickoff for the year? If there's something else that we could get you to do in the school, can we work this out? And I said, yes to all of it. We can partner with the school. Because I wasn't going in to bash him. I was just going in to say, I'm a little bit concerned. And I work with kids, and this is what I do with my life. And by the time I walked out of there, he had opened up his whole school to us. So it's absolutely phenomenal now. So this junior high school is, this is God's doing stuff. So we're in two schools. I hired a guy to come out and work in the school system. So he does the breakfast program at Spencer Middle School. And every morning he gives breakfast out to some of the kids that don't get breakfast in the mornings. So he's got about 15 kids that show up there, between 15 and 20 kids that Cobb's Bread is supporting and giving us toast and bagels and all that kind of stuff. The school is giving us their best classroom. He starts again next week, is the second year of doing this. And he's been able to basically create relationships with all of these kids where he meets them outside of school as well in different places in the community. But not just that, but the kids are asking him questions about what he believes and why are you here, and Youth for Christ, what is this all about? And we're very, very careful because I recognize that that's the Board of Education territory. I get that it's school district stuff. But we're very careful about what we do and what we say. At the same time, we don't hide the fact that we're Youth for Christ. Okay, that's who we are. That's the name of our organization. It's hard to get away from it. So the result of that, anyways, my friend coming out here is that he ended up meeting with his neighbor. Like, he hung out with his neighbors, and his neighbor's kid had like a picnic birthday party, and they invited their friends. And one of the guys that came from there is actually works in the Sooke School District, District 62. And he said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Well, this is what I'm hoping to do, is to work in schools and do mentorship programs with youth and blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Oh, that's good, because I'm the guy you need to talk to. I will get you into as many schools as you want." So we said, "Oh, really? How about that?" So what ended up happening was, just the slide previous, you'd saw that we have now a lunch hour Futbolito club, which is just a little soccer club with grade 7 boys. That ended up morphing into more things, which is super exciting for us. So now we're doing grade 6, 7, and 8 clubs for mentorship for boys, because they asked us to come in and just said, "We don't care what you do, just spend time with the boys. They need male positive role models." And so we said, we can provide that. So we're in that school in Dunsmuir Middle School, which is fantastic, and we're doing these programs with the kids every lunch hour, just to be positive male role model influences. That is now branched out, and we've actually been invited now to do programs. We're just working it out. We're with two more high schools, both with Belmont. We have a volunteer that'll be working in Belmont, or we're looking at being in Royal Bay. And just last week, we had a meeting out here at Edward Milne and sat down with the vice principal there, who was the vice principal at Dunsmuir last year. And we talked with her just about the possibility of having volunteers come into school. She said, "This sounds like the greatest thing I've ever heard. We want to have you guys in our school. We want to have your staff in our school. We want them. You don't even need to do a program. What we'd like for you is just to come in and hang out and spend time with our youth, especially the ones that seem to be on the outside that maybe don't have a lot of friends. So if you can come in 2 or 3 days a week and do that, we'd be totally pleased. We'll give you rein." Now, at the same time, she's the vice principal, and so we're still working through the process of making sure this is all okay with the principal and with the school district, so we'd appreciate your prayers with that. They're not started yet. It's not absolute stamp, but it looks really good. And how thrilling is that we can have some staff members and volunteers from Youth for Christ in our high schools and in our junior highs being able to make a difference in kids' lives. Ultimately, what we'd like to do is see some of that take place outside and in the community here. The young couple that we have that will be volunteering here just moved here 1.5 years ago, and they're good friends of mine. And we are super excited. Actually, not even 1.5 years. They moved here just not even 1 year ago. But we're really super excited about what might take place, because they've got friends that want to move here too now and do some work here in the area. So we're excited about what's going on. God's doing some neat, neat things. We were able to do some stuff with the Compassionate Resource Warehouse, taking youth teams. We have a partnership with them in town, filling containers and sending containers overseas to Youth for Christ international bases, as well as to many other countries. We fill those containers and we take youth and they fill the containers and sort and pick and move things. And one of the groups that kind of full of a bunch of at-risk kids came to help out, and they said this was the best youth thing that they'd ever done, these kids. "Oh, that was the funnest youth group thing ever," which was weird to me because they were working like crazy. But whatever, they loved it. And so we're really excited about that. Not only that, we have a middle school that has now contacted us and said they want to bring their kids, their trouble kids, out to the Compassionate Resource Warehouse once a month to help work and set up. So we're setting up a program with some schools in town, which is absolutely phenomenal to me. We've got some partnerships going in several other places. I've got a guy that's working downtown Victoria with the homeless. He's doing all kinds of different things. basically they're giving out hot dogs and they're talking to people about Jesus and they're praying with them and people are getting healed. Not only that, last couple of weeks we've seen a couple of people give their hearts to Christ and we're just starting the discipleship process with them. So things are thrilling and I'm seeing God at work here in this city, not just through Youth for Christ, but through all kinds of different things. And it is absolutely phenomenal. Come on, that's good stuff, eh? Jesus is good. And that's just our little world. I could tell stories. Oh, I could be here for days telling stories because this is what I do. I'm going to talk about Jesus, the distracted one, but currently I am. So just hang with me for a sec. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories since I moved here is this is how I know that God is doing some neat things in town and that he's doing stuff all over the world, but he's doing it here in Souk and he's doing it in Victoria as well, is that this lady who was one morning, this is a great story, one morning, she's sitting, she works at one of these metaphysical bookstores and was doing her meditation times in the morning. And as she's doing her meditation and kind of centering down and all those kinds of things, sitting in the middle of her house, she has a vision and Jesus himself comes and begins to speak to her while she's meditating and centering down and all these things. And Jesus says to her, "You need to follow me." And she has this conversation with the Lord for a time. She knows nothing of God, of Jesus, the Jesus that we know anyways. And she has this vision. They have this conversation. At the end of it, she kind of comes out of it and she goes over to her husband. She says, "Hey, listen, I just had this vision of Jesus and he said that I need to follow him." And he said, "Well, if you saw him, you should probably do what he says." So she just goes literally down the road to a church and pops into the church and meets my friend that's a pastor there. And starts chatting with them, they have a chance to lead her to Christ. They have this incredible thing. They're doing discipleship with her. They're going through the Bible. She's got great insights. The Holy Spirit is speaking to her, teaching her about the word and the different things. She's looking through and she goes, "I don't think that this is what this really means. This is what this means, doesn't it?" Yes, you're picking it up and they were getting this thing. Four months later, her husband gave his heart to Jesus. It's fantastic. God is doing stuff just wild. This is one of many, many stories that I get to hear. And I'm just so lucky because I get to travel around and talk to all these different people and hear all these incredible stories of people that are being healed, just miraculously being healed, people that are giving their hearts to Jesus, things that God is speaking and doing places, and I get to be part of it. So I'm thrilled with that. And I'm completely distracted and gone away from where I want to go with the message. So if we can just, maybe I can ask the Lord to help me here, and we can pray for just a minute, and then we'll just talk a little bit about the way that God is seeing people, and we'll move from there. So Jesus, thank you so much for all that you're doing here in this town. In this area, I thank you for those that have been praying and seeing you move here, and God, believing that you have a heart and a plan for the people of this area. And so, Jesus, we want to honor you with who we are, with all the stuff that we say and with all the stuff that we do, and still treat people properly and with respect and that as well. So God, help us and direct us in this. So this morning, may your word come alive, and may you just really speak clearly to our hearts about just how we are to look and to treat people. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Cool. So anyways, if you want to keep praying for us, that would be fantastic. I would love that. I would be so excited. We have a little thing out there. We have a little bit at the table there. If you want to put your email down, we send out emails once a month just saying, here's our prayer requests for a couple of our ministries. And if you want to pray with those whenever you think of them through that month, that would be fantastic. We've got other material out there too. You can grab whatever you want. If you want to give us $1 million, we're always open to that. You know, we're a charity, whatever. Always looking for cash. But no, we'd love to have... just have you partner with us in some way, shape, or form. That would be just fantastic. This whole distraction thing is such a part of my life. We used to laugh quite a bit, because my mom would be like, where did you come up with this? I'd be in these conversations with people, and suddenly I would be in a different world than they were. And it's just, I never really understood it until my son was growing up. And then they said, you know, we're going to assess your kid. And so they do all these tests and everything. And then they come back and they say, oh yeah, your kid's pretty high ADHD. And they say, here's all the information on it. Look at it. I was like, okay. So I look at it, and they have their 10 points. And if you're, you know, 5 out of those 10, then you're, you know, ADHD. And he was 5. And so they said, you know, he's kind of this border, whatever. He's got these issues. And I looked at him and I went through them. And I thought, oh man, I'm like 7 or 8. Like, boy, this explains so much stuff for me. It's kind of just the way that my life, I was at a church service and we're in the church. I'm standing beside the youth pastor and I'm going to go speak. It's in the middle of worship. Worship was wonderful. We're having a great time. And all of a sudden, the youth pastor loses it and sneezes right all over his kid. I mean, he sneezed right on him. It was hilarious. And I was done. Worship was over for me for about 5 minutes as me and this kid giggled and giggled and laughed and giggled, and then we're trying to come back to normal. So I'm used to this whole being distracted thing and getting all over it. But really, what we can't get distracted from is our mission. Is ultimately what our mission is. Jesus had a mission when he was here on earth. It says, Luke 4:18, I love it, where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Later on, he says in that chapter, he says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. He had this mission, which he then dropped it onto the rest of his disciples. He dropped that onto them. When he's leaving, he's saying, listen, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Make disciples of all. We take on his mission. We have this mission. But in the middle of it, somehow, I just see that Jesus has, he has this mission for people. And sometimes we think that it is not as focused because he's so easily distracted from even getting to the cross. Can you say that? Because didn't he say at one point in time that he was going to set his face like flint towards Jerusalem? He's like, I need to get there. I have to make my way to Jerusalem, because we know that he had to get there so he could die for us. He had to get there to be in the right place to die for us. The thing is that on his way to Jerusalem, from where he was when he mentioned that, he had to go through Jericho. So he's walking down the road, Luke 18, and he meets the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler says, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? And he says, well, you have to do this and this and this. And he's like, oh, I've done all those things. And then he says, sell everything you own. And the rich guy says, oh, that's a tough one for me. I got a lot. I was doing pretty good there for a moment on those first few when you said I only had to do this, this, and this. But when you say sell everything, that's harder. And he walks away. And he says that he walks away sad. And the disciples are like, whoa, Jesus, we left everything. Just remember, you know, we're not like that guy. We left everything. And they continue down the road. And as they're walking down the road, they're coming towards Jericho, because he's got to go through Jericho to get to Jerusalem so that he's on his mission to die. He's set his face. He is looking towards going this way. He's not to be distracted until he comes outside of Jerusalem and he's got people surrounding him. And suddenly, there's a guy sitting on the side of the road, a blind beggar, who starts yelling out, hey, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and gets distracted from his mission. He needs to get to death so he can save the world. He's got to get there. But this guy's yelling. And everybody else is telling him, be quiet, be quiet. Jesus says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. He turns around and he asks him what he wants. And the guy says, I want to see. And right there, he heals him. He heals him. And the guy joins this crowd that follows Jesus now into Jerusalem. So he's so easily interrupted from his mission. And I think sometimes in our lives, we get so driven towards something in particular. We're like, I have to do this. I have to do this. I got to go. I can't be distracted. I can't be distracted by what's going on. Sometimes I get like this because I'm very driven in a lot of ways. I'm like, I've got to do this. And my kids are like, but Dad. And I'm like, but we're doing this. We got to go over here. I got a mission. I got a purpose. And they're distracting. You're distracting me. Don't stop me. At the same time, it's pretty easy for me to get distracted on a lot of cases. But Jesus heard this noise from the crowd, and he's interrupted. He's distracted from his purpose. But he goes and he heals them anyways. I'm going to read just a very famous story that probably all of you know. And that's okay, because it's always good to read scripture. So we're going to just read from Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus, our good friend Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Zacchaeus was a jerk. No one liked that guy. Excuse me. No one liked him. He was the chief tax collector, not just the tax collector. He was the chief tax collector that told his tax collectors to go and get more. He was tremendously disliked. He was a sellout to the Romans. He had turned his back on his people so that he could get more money. And that's what he did. Gained wealth, gained wealth, gained wealth. But when he heard that this guy, Jesus, was coming through town, something tweaked in him that thought, I've got to see this guy. Now, Zacchaeus, he just reminds me of like a Danny DeVito type of character. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just that short, just one of those guys. So he's got to go and climb this tree so he can see Jesus, because the crowds have crowded all around Jesus. They're walking with him as he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he can't see because everyone else is taller than him. I feel like this so often in junior high schools. So he goes and he climbs this tree and he's waiting for him. And as this crowd is coming down the road and they come up to the tree and Zacchaeus is sitting up there, Jesus looks at him and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I need to go to your house. Which just really rips off everybody. No one is happy with it. What? Zacchaeus? We all know that guy. He's a jerk. He took way too much money from me. He sent his guys out to take more money from me when I had none. He's given it all to the Romans. He's a sellout. He's a total traitor to our people. And Jesus stands there and says, Zacchaeus, I need to go to your house. No one liked the guy. But by acknowledging Zacchaeus, he was making a statement to everybody else in that crowd. When you acknowledge people that no one else wants to acknowledge, you make a statement to everybody else that's around you. And what he said to that crowd was, without using the words, is that I value this person. I value him. Because he knew that he had created Zacchaeus for a purpose. And for a reason. Just because Zacchaeus wasn't walking it out at that point in time and doing what he was maybe necessarily supposed to be doing, he was still valuable enough that Jesus sought him out and said, I need to come to your house. And the message sent was that everyone here is of value. Everyone. They've all been created with purpose and with reason. I don't care how much you don't like them. I don't know what it is for you guys. I was going through this and preparing for this, and actually it was a real conviction for me. Because in the last few days, I found out some things about some people that were doing things against my family, and it doesn't make me value them. It's really hard. It's hard to speak this, to be honest, because there's someone that I'm really angry with. Now, they don't know Jesus, and they don't know any better. They're kind of messed up. But it's pretty hard for me because it's affecting my family quite strongly and potentially for a long ways into the future. And what Jesus said to me is, what, do you think I don't value that person? When all I want to do is wring their neck. He's created her for a reason. He created her on purpose. He has a plan for her. He wants her to know him. He has a reason for her being on this planet, in the home that she's in, living where she does, so that the people that are around her that know Jesus can introduce her to him. But it's hard for me. Just like it was hard for these guys. I don't know what it is, the people that you don't like. I don't know who they are. They could be any type of people. They might be the ones that we look down on and we don't think we look down on anybody, but sometimes we do. Whether it's out of fear or out of arrogance or whatever reason that might be. Sometimes we still look down on people even though we don't think we do. I think that way. I think pretty well of myself. A lot of times I think I'm doing pretty good. And then the Lord comes by and just reminds me again. Hey, what about this person? Sometimes it's people that we just rather not associate with. Sometimes it's because those people's causes just make me angry. Because their causes are so anti-God. I'll tell you what, when I moved here from Calgary, I couldn't believe how many causes there were here. People are passionate about stuff. They just lose their minds over all kinds of things that just doesn't happen in the prairies. This is a whole new world for me. You cannot cut a tree down for nothing. Now you try and cut a tree down, people will come and speak with you about this. Oh, it's idle. My church, we were going to cut a tree down at my church. And because it was dead. Okay? It's a dead tree. We still had to go and get all the permits and all of those things. It was ugly. Like it was just old and dead in the way. So we went to go cut it down. So we go to cut it down, and this lady comes in after the big guy. We got the permits, and we got the permissions, and we got the guys with the saws, the company, and the big chipper, and the truck. And those guys all came in, and they parked the thing, and they were making all kinds of noise. And I happened to be at the church that morning, and this lady walked in the back door. Boom, who's in charge? I was like, oh, not me. I was looking for anyone. At that point, I was like, someone's in trouble. It ain't going to be me. So the pastor was gone, but my friend Gary was there. And so Gary stands up. He goes, oh, he says, he's super nice. He's like, oh, what's the problem? What are you going to pave paradise and put up a parking lot? I was like, really? Did you just say that? I can't believe it. She said it a few times. I can't believe it. What are you doing? What are your plans with this tree? And he said, plans? She said, yeah, what are you doing? He goes, well, we're moving it. And she said, well, where are you moving it to? He said, well, to the chipper. I thought, oh. Anyways, she wasn't pleased. I got phone calls from everybody in the neighborhood. I want to see your permits. These are a passionate group of people. I'm thinking, firewood. Excellent. Sometimes we don't agree with people and their causes, but does it make them any less than us? I don't agree with a lot of causes. There's a lot of stuff that gets taught in our school systems that I don't agree with, but does it mean that the school systems are all completely and totally evil? That is not true. That's why we make an attempt to come in and assist and help and support and be there. To be a voice of truth at times. Because those guys are doing a hard work. They're raising your kids. They're raising my kids. And it's not easy. Not in this day and age. It's really hard. So just because I don't agree with their cause or I don't agree with their belief doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose and a plan for their lives. And when Jesus was standing there looking at Zacchaeus up in the tree, he was seeing everything that he made Zacchaeus to be. He was seeing everything that he made him to be. He was seeing his future. He was seeing his plan. He was seeing his purpose for him. When everybody else started murmuring and saying, oh, I can't believe he's going to go be a guest of that sinner. What a terrible, what is he doing? What is he thinking? Meanwhile, Jesus is stepping outside the box and saying, I'm going to hang out with the people that no one else likes. Excuse me. When we treat people with the value that Jesus has for them, things change. So Jesus goes and he stays at Zacchaeus' house, and through conversation, something changes in the guy, obviously. He's not like the rich young ruler. He absolutely goes off the charts and says he's going to give away all his money. I'm going to pay all these people back that I ripped off. Something changes in his heart and in his life, and he changes gods. He goes from money God to the God because Jesus valued him. He loved him. Another quick story, if that's okay. I love it when people make a big change really quickly and it's painfully obvious, especially to the ones that matter. Because Zacchaeus was telling everybody, I'm giving away everything. I'm going to reimburse you all these people that I stole from. I'm going to reimburse. Suddenly, it was a big deal. And I was traveling. I'd gone down to visit my cousin. He was living in Miami. And so I was living in Ontario at the time. And I drove down the highway in my little car, slept in my car because I was mostly close to broke. And I stayed down there with him for the week. And we had a great time. And then I was coming back. And I was driving from Miami all the way up across the north border into Georgia, the state of Georgia. It was close to midnight. I was getting tired. So I pulled over into like just a rest stop, and there was all the trucks were out there and cars were out there. And when I pulled in, I got out, I just stretched my legs and went for a walk. And I'd said, I just prayed. I said, God, if there's anybody here that you want me to talk to, I'll chat with them. Like, I'm open to doing this right now. This would be great. So I'm walking around and I'm not seeing anybody. And then I walk by this big bank of trucks, these big, huge 18-wheelers. And as I walk by these big trucks, this kid comes running out. He's probably about 18, 19 years old. He comes running out from between the things. He's got cut-off shorts on, ripped cut-off shorts, no shoes or socks, T-shirt. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, he goes, are you a trucker? And I was like, do I look like a trucker to you? Like, I'm like 120 pounds. Like, I literally laughed at him, which was probably not the best thing to do, but I laughed at him. And I said, no, I'm not a trucker. Oh, he goes, I just need a ride. I need to get a ride. I said, well, where are you going? And he mentioned this town that was about 3 or 4 hours away. And it was kind of off the route a bit for me. But I said, I need to get some sleep, but I'll give you a ride if you're still here in 4 hours. He's like, okay. And so we just chatted for a few minutes. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I just asked the Lord, if there's someone here you want me to talk to. And this dude pops out of nowhere. So then I'm like, listen, I said, okay, whatever. I said, I'll give you a ride. How about this? I'll give you a ride. And, if you need to go, we can go right now. Yeah, I'd love to go right now. So we get into the car and I turn to him and I say, I just want you to know. I said, I'm an evangelist and I'm going to tell you about Jesus for the next 4 hours. So I said, if you're okay with that, then you can still come with me. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, okay. And I'm like, we're out of here. take off. Boom, we're onto the freeway. He can't jump out now, so we're all safe. He tells me this story. Him and some guys, he meets up with these guys. I can't remember if they were South Carolina, something like that. Anyways, he's from there. He meets up with these guys. They go on a road trip. They get on this road trip, and they get down into Florida, and these guys ditch him, literally. Excuse me. They take all of his CDs. They take all of his stuff, and they leave him on the side of the road, literally. He's got hardly anything to him. So then he doesn't know what to do. He's stuck in this place. He starts to try and figure out what his next plan is, and he meets up with some more guys. So he starts hanging out with these other guys. And they say, yeah, we'll give you a ride. Don't worry. So they're driving all over the state. Anyways, they come to this place in North Florida, and they go up to the gas station just off the side of the highway, and they say, we're going to do a food run. And he said, what's that? And they said, well, what are you going to... Oh, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Bless you. They said, we're going to do a food run. And he said, what's that? And they said, that's where you run in, you get some food, and then you run out without paying for it. And he said, okay, well, I'm with these guys, so I guess that's what we'll do. So they leave him to do that. He goes in the store, grabs some food, runs out. As he's running out, the girl who is manning the till, her boyfriend happened to be there, and he was a larger fella. So he chases him out. And when he chases him out, these two guys, or these other guys that are in the car, are like, oh no, we're out of here. And they ditch, and they leave the guy. So not only is his friends ditched him and everybody's treated him poorly already, now he's with these other guys who also ditch him and leave him there. And now he's caught because there's nowhere else to go. So they go and they go inside. They call the owners of the store. The owners come out. He tells them, this is what happened to me and my story. The owners say, okay, well, obviously you don't have very good friends and you don't hang out with the right kind of crowd. So you're stuck here. But what we'll do for you is we're not going to call the cops because you got caught here. We're going to take you, we'll give you a ride. Where do you want to ride to? How about we give you a ride up the road to the next rest stop? And they came up, they drove him a half an hour down the highway, and out of their way, and dropped him off at the rest stop where I met him. I pick him up, he tells me this story. I say, listen, Devin, this is, I said, God has a plan for your life. He said, you just didn't end up here by accident. So these people valued you. Look at this. They didn't just, you did everything wrong to them, and they still drove you way up here so you could meet me. We chatted about Jesus for the next several hours. We get to his house. It's the middle of the night. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. So I drive to his dad's place where he lives, and we get in there, and he's like, yeah, you know what, if you want to crash here, that's fine. So we talk upstairs. I say, you want to give your heart to the Lord? He said, yeah. I said, okay, how about this? How about we wait till we wake up in the morning, and then we'll still see if you still want to give your heart to Jesus. He said, okay. So we're crashing in his bedroom. This is, and in the morning, I wake up, and his dad's walking into the room. And his dad's got like a t-shirt on from the local strip club. And he looks at me, he's like, who the blankety blank are you? And I was like, oh no. Now I'm thinking to myself, don't worry, I'm just a stranger who picked up your son off the side of the road and I'm staying in his bedroom tonight. Like, all these horrific things are going through my head now. It all seemed very innocent at the time. I said, oh, I said, my name's Lindsay. I said, I picked up your son. I gave him a ride here. I said, by the way, I said, I'm a Christian and your son's going to become a Christian this morning. I said, did you want to become a Christian too? He looks at me, he goes, no. And he leaves. Like, okay. At least he didn't call the cops. So anyway, so Devin wakes up and we talk for a few minutes we pray together, and he gives his heart to Christ, and I was able to drop an extra Bible that I had with me on him and that kind of stuff. And the first thing that he was going to do was going to go find his old Lutheran pastor, youth pastor who still lived in town, and connect with him and make sure everything was, that he was going to get his life back together. All because somebody gave him a ride who he tried to rip off. Do you know what I mean? These guys, he stole from them. He was ignorant and rude. He had nothing to do with them. He stole from them, and they said, you know what? We're going to give you a ride somewhere anyways. And Jesus is always chasing people down like this. And I think that he wants to use us to chase people in the same way. He wants us to find Zacchaeus, the one that nobody else likes, even the ones that we don't like, the ones that we have a struggle with, the ones that we don't agree with, the ones that we have a hard time with. The mission of Jesus was wrapped up in that last sentence. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He didn't quit when one guy walked away. He continued on in his path. He continually got distracted by the people that were in there. Because even though his mission was to get to Jerusalem, there was something else that God would lead him to on the way out. And I want us to make sure that we keep our eyes and our ears open enough that no matter what we feel our mission is for the day, that our hearts would still be open to help those which we don't like, to speak life into the ones that maybe others don't value, to care for as many as we can find, because the only reason that they're put in our path is so that we can share the very love of God and forgiveness and hope of God that he's given us with them. My wife gets so mad at me because I just talk to way too many people. We're always late for everything. But I love talking with people. My kids last week did the same thing. I said, we're going to this church. I'm speaking at this church. And my kids said, do we have to come? Because you sit there forever afterwards. But I don't want to miss an opportunity where at least at some point in time, I might have a chance to talk to someone who needs to hear a word from Jesus. And somehow that might come through me and make a difference in their life. So are we doing these things? Do we see the value in people that others don't value? Do we see the purpose that God has set them up for that maybe nobody else sees? Do we look at them through the eyes of Christ? Do we allow for interruptions in our day because the Spirit of God is telling us to? I want to be like my friend Jenny Ray, who lives here in town. She lives in Otter Point. And every time we seem to go out for a coffee to talk about their next steps and what's going to take place with her and her husband, and they're the ones that are going to be assisting here in the schools. Every time we go out, she gets distracted. We're sitting at Starbucks and she's talking. We're talking. We're trying to make plans. Someone trips. She jumps. She's picking up people before they hit the ground. She's crying. It just happens over and over every time. And I want to be like her, who's not so much concerned with all this stuff, but is concerned with all of this stuff. And I think that's the way that God has created us to be, and that's the purpose that he's created us with. So why don't we pray this morning, and then we'll be finished here. Jesus, I thank you that you came to my house and saved me, just like you went to Zacchaeus' house and saved him, just like you went to all these people's homes and you spoke life and love to them. May we walk out your mission here on earth. May we be distracted from what our purposes are at times so that we can reach out and pray for someone or make a difference in their life through our words. May we bring hope. May we bring peace to situations. God, may we act as you did, and may we carry out your mission here, not so that we can get any good stories, but for God, so that you would be glorified and that people would be saved. For you came to seek and save the lost. So help us, Lord, in that. May we see a massive move of God here in Souk. May we see you change our neighbors' lives, and may you prick our hearts every time we turn around to speak to somebody, and may it be an opportunity for us to share your love. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Les.
I ask the worship team to come up. Thanks so much, Lindsay, for that message of encouragement and challenge to us. I appreciate that.